Today we come to the final full day of the week together. And in speaking with you this afternoon, I'd just like to take a few minutes just with regard to the flow of the day, tomorrow morning, coming to a closure, just to give you some basic information. Also, speak to you a little bit about the afternoon and evening program, and then Lily will speak to you for a little while. Gali will speak to you,
yes.
Good manager, and just to give you the update. With the afternoon, we'll give the talk on the dana, the act of generosity, of giving, which makes these programs possible. And then silence will continue. It will continue through the food time and into the evening. And then at the evening at 7:30, the Dharma program will be for an hour of questions and answers. So it may be that just over the days here, some questions have arisen from your meditations, from your areas of interest and concern, and the dharmas and the dramas of life, and I'll endeavour to respond to those questions, as long as they're easy. And then tomorrow morning at the breakfast time is the time when the silence ends. Tomorrow morning before breakfast, I'll put up some general posters about the websites and some CDs and other information that will take place tomorrow morning. And as I mentioned to you, that the people from who are making the documentary will turn up tomorrow morning, and I hear from Gali that the intention is to arrive around 5 o'clock in the morning. It seems quite an energetic start to the day for them there, and they would. Did you mention already? Yes. So the dear bell ringer will be there, and I'm sure whoever the bell ringer is will get a Nobel Prize, or if not, an Oscar. there. But it would be interesting to listen to some of the questions that I'll be asked to tomorrow, and it is an important area. And we, three of the teachers, two of them are psychotherapists, that's Subhana, who's also a Zen master in Australia, and Mark Coleman, one of the main teachers at the Spirit Rock Centre, and I actually prepared a, which is on the website, a report or analysis of spiritual emergencies. And some of you in the room here are engaged in forms of service to others. Some of you are counselors, psychologists, psychotherapists, mind-body workers there. And sometimes people do get into some kind of crisis in all sorts of ways, and we prepared a fairly full report on what might be, what are important steps to take. I wrote it initially to give support to the teachers and managers and staff on retreats and in other kind of programs and workshops. In the coming to the closure period, I'd just like to give a few minutes to speak to you about the ethics, the principles, the vision, in fact, of Tovana and of the tradition view itself. And there's a very strong connection and alignment here. So in going back now to 2,500 years or so, Dharma and Dana, the Buddha brought these two areas together. And Dharma, as we know, means teachings and practices contributing to liberation, the understanding of the nature of things, the opening of the heart, and living with clarity and depth in our life. And that is the central priority in the Dharma teachings. And part of the spirit of that and the practice and the exploration of that is the act of the gift. And it's a very important aspect for all of us in a whole variety of ways as a teaching and as a practice. And of course these days it's almost a radical voice in it. We are so used to this world of I, me and my, in which sometimes a primary thought can be what I want for myself, and therefore a relationship to life for some in which the primary effort for knowledge, for skills, for doing is what I can get for me or what I can get for me and my family there. And sometimes even the family is selected. I will never give anything to her or him, etc. You know that. So this, the culture of Dharma and Dana is a culture of practice. It's a culture which says to us in a rather important way that life, in fact, is a given. It's not a chosen. And if it was a chosen, then we could have said before birth, well, I'll choose it. No, exactly. I'll choose these parents. And most of us say, well, I wouldn't have those. I'll have those. So here we are, we land in the world, and life is given to us. It's a given event. And the act of something which is given is a practice and exploration that we partake in the giving. We partake in the support of life. And therefore the view is a movement, and a rather deep inner movement, from the concept of taking, the concept of getting for me, to the one of giving. And that is an important part of the practice, and there are a whole variety of different ways that we can explore that. So when we're giving consideration to the Dana, there are many avenues and many expressions of it. And that happens, of course, a lot in our daily life too. It's precious. Sometimes our dana is the giving of time. We need a person, really needs some support. We really need some attention, some care, listening to, and then we give our time. Family members, friends, neighbors, colleagues, whoever it might be. There's the giving which can show itself in the form of skills. And many of you here have certain skills in life, and you give those skills, you share them with others, and some of us, people like me, and many things, I can just about put a 3-pin electrical plug into the wall. That I can do by myself. But after that, the light bulb, yes, etc. But after that, help! And various Dharma friends, they know that these hands are hopeless. And a whole variety of ways, whatever it might be, putting a cupboard in the kitchen, you know, or fixing something, or the computer goes bananas, or whatever it is. And the many acts of giving, and it is a dana. There's also in the act of giving of knowledge, and some things that you and I know about and wish to give that knowledge to, and in all sorts of ways, the spoken word and the written word. There's the giving of gifts as well, and of course there are many, you know, plenty of days in the year where friends, families, birthdays and weddings, and so there's the act of the giving of the gift. It's the dana. So the word dana is this act of the gift. And one important area, and equally as important as all the others, is the gift of money there. In a strange sort of way, it's simultaneously the easiest gift and for some the hardest. It's easy, it takes a moment. Boom, boom, done. It's probably the shortest gift we could give. It just takes a split second there, even if we have to get the checkbook out, you know, or you're giving your American Express card and writing out the upper limit. I don't know. So it doesn't... Wicked, isn't it? But it doesn't take any time. It's there. But areas around money for all of us everywhere. There. And sometimes in the act of the giving that we do, it's a letting go, for sure. Whatever the expressions of the dana that is giving, it's a sharing with others, and the beauty of the intention behind it is giving support. Act of giving gives support. That's what it does. And human beings have an extraordinary capacity to give support. You know, take England for a moment. Plenty of things which I criticize of the list, you know, could fill the encyclopedia. But I do have to say, and I'm sure too here in Israel, there are 190,000 charities in England. And all of those charities, they rely on dana, they rely on the gift, rely on people's time and energy and money and resources. And one can go online and check the financial state of one of the charities, which is rather interesting, I have to say. I looked up one of the Buddhist organizations to see what its finances were like. Only curious, of course. Inquiry, it's an inquiry. And it had, you know, Tibetan Mahayana, you know, not our crowd, we live on peanuts. Yeah. But the Tibetan Mahayana, they had $5 million in there. I went, wow, very nice. See, so some are doing rather well in the area of the dana, etc. Perhaps we should record the Lama's dana talks and repeat it word for word. I don't know. Anyway, excuse me. So there is the act of the kindness and the gift. Quite often, and this is one of the tremendous aspects of Tovana, and I have huge respect for this, that quite often the usual form, it varies from place to place, but the usual form is that the person registers for a retreat, and then she or he pays at the beginning, say for the week long, and there'll be the daily rate. They come, they pay so much deposit, it may be refundable or not, and then come, and then upon arrival pay the rest of the amount. And then at the end of the retreat, one of the teachers will usually give a dana talk, and there'll also be a dana as well for the center or the organization. And this is generally how it works. And sometimes other box gets put out, depends what and where. And this is the most common one. In some places, I must say, from US, I kind of felt, I was feeling rather uncomfortable there. The daily rate has increased to such a degree that for a week-long retreat, it will somewhere range, they have the upper and lower limit, somewhere between $100 a day to, say, $150 or a day or more. And the consequences of that is that it's people with affordable, or what we call in England, disposable income, who can afford to go. The consequence of that is that on the last retreat I gave, and it's quite common, the average age of people on retreat was well over 50. And many of those, of course, had retired, and of course it was lovely and welcome. But many of the younger generation who are at school or at university, just starting a job, working, looking for a job, single mothers and parents, etc., or have debts, just can't go. They can't afford it. It's just, and the director of one of the centres said to me, you know, Christopher, it's not so many years ago here in the US that people would go online and then they would look for a particular teacher. Where is she or he teaching in the United States, and make a point of getting there. What the practitioners, the yogis, are saying these days, we're going online to look for the cheapest retreat we can do, never mind the teacher. The money is determining where we go. And I think it's just rather, you know, sad, really. And unfortunately, in New York, I was teaching at a centre in New York, just an evening workshop. I said, if you want me to come back, you're going to have to cut the door entrance by half, because it's too much. Friends were telling me, Christopher, I'd want to come and listen to you, but, you know, just to come for 2 or 3 hours and pay like $35 or more, it's just too much for me. And the cost of living is high enough already. And they said, okay, Christopher, we get it, we'll do it. And they did, to their credit there. What Tobiner has done, and it's extremely rare, I have to say, that, and when did we do this, Lila? 3, 4, 5 years ago?
7. Yeah,
is it right? Well, 7 years ago, Abigail is telling us that we had some discussions and some meetings, and the intention was, can we run the total event on Dana? And I still remember hearing these voices and the emails and discussions about it, and people said, not in Israel, Christopher. It won't work. And say, why won't it work? It won't work because people will come and they won't understand the Dana there, and you'd be lucky if you get enough money for a cafe latte. It won't work because people will think it's a free course with a little extra, and won't realize just how much costs are involved in running a program. It's the food and the organization, all the events going on in between. It's the payment per bed to the kibbutz. It's my travel expenses from Totnes to Tel Aviv and back, and many other aspects, the materials and the phone calls and the food and etc. It's quite a lot of people, and people, it wouldn't work here, people haven't got the money, etc. People would book for, there's another popular one-liner, in Israel, you can't rely on people. It's not me saying it, this is Israelis, you know, just get it clear. They'll put their name down, then they'll think, well, I haven't got to give a deposit, I'll forget it, I'll rot on the beach instead. And so all these very good reasons why it wouldn't happen. It is happening. 7 years has gone by. Been a few mantras, of course, and nail-biting, but it's still going on. And the reason is that it's going on, and of course, that young people from teens and people who are in the army and people just coming out of the army and people who are job hunting and in transitions in their life and a range of other people say it's a beautiful way to work, it's a beautiful offering in this way, and people in Israel, to your everlasting credit, genuinely are digging deep into your pockets and making these events happen. If we had, in the times of the Buddha, it was easier because the way that it worked on Dharmadana, the same principle, but what happened in India at the time of the Buddha, you had the very rich patron, and of course he being royalty, he got the richest, you know, got the royals. And it meant that in shortfalls, because it had expenses then, and it had a very thriving commercial system in India, in the shortfalls, the rich patron, say, well, I will make up the shortfall. I will cover things. Tobinet does not have a rich patron. If you know anybody, please. I could cut down the length of the Dana talk by half. But we don't. There isn't one. We actually rely totally on you. And what that does in that way, of course, it gives us all really much responsibility as well in the sharing. But Tovana has to be pragmatic, you know, it has to be very down to earth in the way that this works. And if in the costs there and the programs are increasing every year, the many programs, more people coming there, that if Tovana found itself just there wasn't the dana to cover all the costs, it would have to be realistic and it would have to go back to the old method that one pays for the cost of the retreat, and that kind of guarantees costs will be covered. So that's a kind of pragmatic approach in that respect. And your kindness and your giving and your practice of the acts of generosity do ensure the next retreat takes place. I mean, really, it's very, very simple. And so far, you know, retreat by retreat, through the kindnesses and the acts of giving, the next one has been able to happen. And then at the end of the year, there's the looking at the financial income, and of course, all these things, it's a trust, it's a charity, so there's a financial accountability, the accounts have to be very, very precise, and just to see how the inflows and the outflows are working together there, and it truly is running on the year-by-year basis. That's no other way, it just runs year-by-year. If it works, carries to the next year. If it's not working, and there's a debt and a lot of pressure, we'll have to change. But so far, so good there. And so what takes place, and Gali, she'll explain to you in a little while the setup and how things work for the Dada there. And one box goes out to cover the various costs and the expenses and all of that, and between the different programs that I do here in Israel, through that it's shared with the travel expenses for myself. And of course Tovana is very, very blessed with the staff as well, because the staff's dana is to spend the days here to do all that lovely work and food and preparation for us. It also includes work and support before and afterwards, and all that has to be organized. It's a lot of work, and that's their gift, it's their dana for all of us to be here. And one of the managers told me that the staff, if they wished, could receive their petrol money, you know, for driving the car from their home to here. And the manager said the staff hardly ever ask for it. They just, from the moment they leave their home, it's the act of the giving, you know, to support the whole program. And it's we're, you know, very, very blessed. Can you imagine if it was paid staff? Can you imagine what the daily rate would be if it was paid staff, paid teachers or whatever? So there's something about, it's a matter of the heart. The second bowl which we place and we put out, the bowl for the twosome, sitting up here, and both of us live entirely on the dana. We're both fully committed to it, and so the kindness and the gifts that of the dana that you give us, really, and since it's the only source of income that comes in, really pays the bills. And it's a slight celebration this year, because I've been doing it for 40 years there. And my mother, she's always saying to me, you've got to get a proper job. This is not a proper job. You're not earning any salary. You've got no fixed income. And You're not going to get a pension, you know, living like this. There. But in England, it's rather nice. If you just pay £25 a month, which I did over the years, you actually get this. Will get this. You can get the state pension. And so far, I haven't touched it. My grandson wants to go to this school in Torquay, where he lives, and the cost to go would just, the pension would just cover it for, you know, doing it for him. So far, the Dan and the they have been able to live this way, and again the Sangha, and in the spirit of the sharing and the giving, makes it possible. And it kind of, I think, it kind of works outside of the accepted order. And anything that works outside the accepted order has a certain appeal to my anarchy. And in the accepted order, we have a service, and we offer the service, and we receive a payment for it. And it's the accepted order. And many of you are self-employed, and you know that arrangement, and it works well and beautifully, and, you know, completely supportive for it. And like one man in the last retreat, he was very much inspired by a talk that Iran gave, one of the teachers on the Dharma, and he went away and thought about it, you know, 2 or 3 years, but he thought about it, and he's in the business community, and he received, his hourly rate was 700 shekels an hour. What he does, I'm not quite sure what he does, but it's some advisory position in the business community. And then he decided to go on the Dharma. You know, explained it. He wrote to the clients and the companies and that. And they said, "Have you gone mad? You know, you're having a breakdown or something. You know, would you like to appear in a program on spiritual emergencies?" No, you know what I mean, etc. And then the others thought, is this a new strategy to raise more money? You know, people said, dead. She said, no, I'm just there. And he said he lost a few clients because they didn't know how to relate, etc. And then others came in and they thought, well, good, we'll give less now. And, you know, so he got less, etc. And I said, are you going to change back? He said, no, I'm keeping trust in it there, and just slowly, gradually, people were responding to it. And I thought it was actually a lovely thing to hear. So for us, for Lila and I, in the tradition has said to give support, to give the dana for the four requisites, that's called the four necessities. And the four necessities are for food, one. Clothing, two. Shelter, roof over their head, place to live, the rent, the bills, the running costs. Three, four, medicine if we need it. These are the four basic items that human beings require. The Buddha said one can't even think about anything else if one hasn't got those. And tragically, in this world, we know far too many of the population. 2 billion people living on less than $2.50 a day, etc. So the act of generosity is given with an understanding that the dana which Leela and I receive is used by us ethically. It's used for the essential necessities. It's used to cover these running costs, whether we're here or elsewhere. And there is an understanding of the respect that we give to those who give to us. And the way you respect is using mindfully and wisely and sensitively that which we are so blessed to receive from you. And that's the agreement, a very, very important agreement. And through that, you know, we can, you know, pay the bills. And it always seems unfair that one goes home and there are bills on the mat in the front door, you know, there. And and some other areas and services, of course. And there's the hourly rates and so forth. And just in the course of the week here at Dikvira Urugrino, and we've had a lovely, lovely week with you all, I must say, and the one-to-ones and the silence in the hall and the commitment to the practice, the depth and the quality of the inquiries, they have been very beautiful. I think that part of that intimacy of closeness that develops between us, that really allows much heart opening, and that really has shown in the one-to-ones that we've had with you over the days, coupled with the variety of practices, really give support, and of course your support for us really helps immensely, and we're very, very appreciative. And I know for myself, as a parent and as a grandparent, and those of you parents who've had children at home, one just knows the costs of bringing up kids and giving support, and now too with my daughter being the single mother with the three kids, and somehow the Dana still keeps covering. It's rather amazing and beautiful how it works. So anyway, I talked rather long, so pass you over to the good voice of beloved Leela here, and she'll speak to you, and then Ellie will give you the overview.
So I actually will continue in English, so Christopher will not suffer too much.
Thank you.
It's not going to be long. It always amazes me, always. And now when Christopher mentioned that it's like 40 years that he's been living on Dana, it's truly a rare event, I think, in our world. When I myself went on Dana, that was roughly around 6 or 7 years ago, I did it as an act of trust and as an act of love. And I was really not thinking about tomorrow. Let's put it that way. I just said, let's see what will happen. And I'm also amazed. I mean, Christopher has been living like that for 40 years. It's a blessing. It's really a blessing to be able to live in that way. And the more I do it, when the years go by, the more I realize that this thing is bigger than us, bigger than what seems to be a very small and personal movement between two people or between a group of people and somebody else. It's a bigger movement. I feel it's a movement of love. And I know from my experience that at times we are not quite sure even that we are capable of touching this movement inside of us. When offered to act with the spirit of generosity, often people, and I remember myself included there, we simply don't know what that means, what generosity means for us. How much do I give? What does it mean for me to be generous? And over the years, I've noticed that. I've noticed that confusion can arise at times. And many times it's doubt, or just not sure, am I capable of it at all? And I think that a lot of what we do here with Dharma teaching and practice helps us to, in a way, uncover the ability, or feeds into this ability of giving, simply giving. Because given the opportunity, most people just will enjoy this act of giving. As the Buddha said, if you would know what I know about giving, you would not let a single meal go by without sharing it with somebody. And I think all of us, you know, without even touching upon retreats, know from our own experience what is the act of giving for us. Each and every person here has been involved with this movement of generosity towards friends, towards loved ones, towards strangers at times, and we know we have this precious feeling and knowledge and experience. What does that movement of the heart does to one's heart? I was mentioning yesterday what we call in the teaching of the Buddha, what the Buddha referred to as the three poisons: the greed, hatred, delusion, the movement of the heart that obscure our vision, that in short cause us suffering. And you might refer to it as a very simple movement of the hand that goes like that, the fist that is clenched. And that as opposed to something that is open, like the movement of love, like the movement of giving. Actually, when you go to the East to study this Dharma and practices, the first thing you are giving is the teaching on Dana. We sort of have it the other way around, and we give it at the end. And many times, as Christopher was mentioning, when we speak about giving and we speak about money, a lot of us feel tension around this area, and there's the movement actually of closing down. And it's a practice. Actually, this is what it is. It's a practice to recognize this movement and not to buy into it, and actually to go against the stream, as the Buddha put it. And the stream can be an outside stream, because what we're doing here is a radical movement. But not less important, it's an inner stream. It's the tendency to close down. As my beloved Guruji Leonard Cohen said in his concert here in Israel, the true victory, the true and only victory, is the victory of the heart over its tendencies of closing down, of hatred, of revenge. So I want to offer this practice now. It's something to look deeply into it. See what happens to you right now when you listen to these words, when the heart opens up, when does it close down? How much are we willing to participate in this movement, the movement of love via action? Because, as I mentioned, people find it hard to assess, and a lot of time it actually plays into the hands of the obscuration of the tendencies to hold back, or the tendencies not to know, the delusion part, or the tendency just not to care and go away, the hatred part. Maybe I should say this, that giving in this way, you know, there are two boxes. The teacher's box is completely anonymous. You know, you just go and you put whatever you put there. It's you are the ones who know. But it is important to say in this context, please treat it with respect. Dana is not a tip. It's not something that you put in order to get rid of the whole thing. It's actually far better to reflect upon, to take it into your hearts, to see what are your priorities, what do you want to support in life. You know, the amount of money that all of us spend on just, you know, everyday necessities is just incredible. If we make the account in the end of the week or the end of the day. So when given the chance to do it mindfully, to do it with respect, that can turn into a very beautiful practice. And I want to encourage everyone here to take it in this way. The last point I want to mention about that the practice of dana in this way to Chovana and to teachers actually goes against the tendency that oftentimes we have in our modern society to get the better deal at the least price. And sometimes it's just automatic. It's somewhere in the back of our minds. And that's why I mention it here, so it won't be automatic, so you won't be blind to it. So again, just with courage, with wisdom, with care, look into this. Enjoy it. That doesn't have to be a heavy thing because it involves money. It's actually a very joyous thing to do. So I want to thank you for listening and practicing.
Thank you, Leila. Nice, lovely.
So maybe Gali will come and speak.
אחרי מה שנאמר כאן אין לי הרבה מה להגיד חוץ מלהסביר קצת את הצד הטכני של איך שזה יהיה. עוד 5 או 10 דקות אחרי שאתם תצאו מהאולם תוכלו לגשת לחדר האוכל. יהיו שם הארנקים שלכם והדברים שהפקדתם בהתחלה על אחד השולחנות, ובשולחנות האחרים ממקום יהיה כתוב מה בכל מקום, איפה אפשר לתת. אפשר לתת באמת בכל הצורות האפשריות, אפשר לתת בצ'קים, אפשר לתת במזומן, אפשר לתת בצ'קים דחויים ובתשלומים, אפשר לתת בכרטיס אשראי, בכרטיס אשראי, וכל אחד יוכל לגשת לצורה שנוחה לו. אנחנו רושמים, וכמובן שבשולחן אחר יהיה את הטבע של הדנה על המורים, זה אתם פשוט משלשלים לשם. על כל תרומה לתובנה אנחנו נותנים קבלה, זה קבלה שיכולה להיות מוכרת למי שיכול שקורס כזה יהיה מוכר לו. לגבי המורים לא ניתנת קבלה, כי זה באמת לגמרי אנונימי, כמו שהסבירו פה המורים. המורים בעצמם נותנים אחר כך קבלה טוטלית על הכל, ולכן אם מישהו כן רוצה קבלה ספציפית גם על הדן על המורה, אז פשוט לרשום את זה ולרשום את הכתובת שלו ולאן הוא רוצה שישלח וישלחו לו. אם רושמים צ'קים למורים זה גם אפשרי, אפשרי או מזומן או צ'קים למורים, אז פשוט בשם להשאיר פתוח, לרשום את הסכום כמובן, ובשם להשאיר פתוח. בגדול זהו. משהו נוסף, אביגיל? הוראת קבע, כן, הוראת קבע, אביגיל תפרט.
אז טוב, מי שהיה כבר בקורס שניהלתי, אני רק רוצה להגיד לגבי הוראות קבע שזאת עוד הזדמנות לתמוך, כמו שלילה אמרה, בדבר שאנחנו בעצם מאמינים בו. זה לא בשביל לחסות את הקורס, זה בשביל להמשיך להחיות את התובנה, בשביל לדעת שגם בפסח הבא כספר יבוא, ובעוד 20 שנה הבאה, וזה תמיד משהו, זה הדופק של תובנה מתקיים בעצם על ההוראות קבע. אפשר לתת גם על 40 שקלים, לתת זה משהו שיורד לכמה זמן שרוצים, לשנה או ליותר, וזה ממש משהו שנותן חמצן לתובנה, וכך שגם אם יש הפסדים בקורסים, דבר שקורה, וגם אם רוצים ככה להרחיב את האפשרויות, וזה נותן איזשהו שייכות כזה, כמו שלנו היה ברור שכולנו פה מתרגלים ותיקים, והיה לנו ברור שטוב, מתישהו אני אבוא, כאילו הביטחון הזה שיש לנו. שיהיה קורס של תובנה, זה די מדהים. ואני רוצה לציין בהקשר הזה שגלי הייתה רשומה כמונו לשבת פה בתור מתרגלת, ואם לא היה מנהל הקורס לא היה מתקיים קורס, וגלי נתנה את הדנה שלה בזה שהיא ויתרה לשבת בקורס אינטימי ופרטי עם כריסטופר כמו שאנחנו זכינו, ונתנה את, את היכולת של לנהל, ואני חושבת שזה מאוד מאוד הורגש הדנה הזאת. ואני חושבת שבלתת הוראת קבע זה המחויבות הזה, זה כמו המעשה שגלי עשתה, זה להגיד אני חלק מזה. אני משהו בין כל הקרדיט קארד שיורד לי בחודש על בתי קפה ועל הופעות או מה שכל אחד תומך בו, הוא רואה שוואלה, 50, אני יודעת שאני נתתי את זה פעם אחרי ששמעתי שיחה כזאת שוב ושוב, וזה בסדר אם לא הפעם, מתי שתרצו ההוראות קבע נמצאות. אתם מוזמנים, כמו שלילה אמרה, להשתתף בתרגול הזה של איך זה מרגיש שאני יודע שאני תומך כל הזמן במשהו שהוא פשוט priceless. אז גם העמדה הזאת היא תאויש על ידי גיל, מוזמנים לפחות כזה.
זה 50 לפחות, נכון?
לא, 140. אפשר 140, כל חודש בתאריך שנוח לכם, הזדמנות נפלאה.
אולי להגיד את זה ככה בכמה מילים באנגלית? יש פה שניים ש...
הוא שמע לקורס קודם. וגם שושנה שמעה בקורס קודם. אז תגיד בקשר לחזר. תשאלי את השאלות לגבי...
יש איזה שהן שאלות?
לגבי הטכני?
לגבי הצד הטכני של התרומה?
והזמנים?
So all your valuables, חפצי ערך, will be waiting for you at the dining room, and you can take whatever you need and give it back, so you can have an extra day without your stuff. And some people personally ask me to encourage not to use the phone, even though it's like in the valuables, it's really tempting. So please take care with that little instrument and just take what you need and give it back. I think that's it. Maybe we'll sit for a while.
Whichever you wish. Yeah,
so let's just sit together for a few minutes and let it sink.